This podcast may contain information that may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. This investigation is ongoing. Information for this podcast was obtained through police interviews and reports taken throughout the investigation by the Boynton Beach Police Department. Welcome to Rosebud, the Victoria Rose Miller story. My name is Maxanne Miller, the host for this podcast. This podcast is presented by the Boynton Beach Police Department. The topic of this podcast is the life and untimely death of Victoria Rose Miller.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Today we have Rob Eichhorst. He is a crime scene investigator with the Boynton Beach Police Department. And we're going to be asking him some questions today. How long have you worked at the Boynton Beach Police Department?
This is going on 24 years now.
When did you start your career in crime scene investigation?
I think it was early 2001. I put in for the position in crime scene and got that position.
Was that here or was that in another
that
police
was here.
Department? What is one thing that has always stuck out to you throughout this case?
One thing that hasn't been solved. When I initially looked at the reports and everything, I just felt that this was a case that's very solvable. And like I said, I just was wondering why it wasn't solved yet. And also, the victim kind of stood out, just her growing up and the troubles that she had and pretty much fit the profile of a victim. And those are the two things that mainly stood out to me.
You've done a lot of work on this case in particular. Is there any reason why, or is there something that draws you to the case?
No, I didn't. The case was in 96. I didn't start until January 97 at the police department. I really was unfamiliar with the case until one of our retired lieutenants who was retired at the time, and he was coming back doing work on the case as a reserve officer. And he happened to bring the case to me and told me about it and mentioned that there's evidence, you know, and for me to want to know if I wanted to look at the evidence and see if there's anything more we can do that hasn't been done. That was around 2005, I believe it was, that he had brought this case to me. And I said, sure, you know, cold case. You know, I'm fairly new in the crime scene unit. I'd be glad to look at it and see what we can do, you know. And that's kind of where I began looking into the evidence and reprocessing things and pretty much staying on the case ever since.
Yeah, 15 years is a really long time
.
For one person to stay with the case for so long.
Right.
So you talked about this case being solvable. Do you have a particular reason why that you'd like to speak into?
Back then, the detectives, they had put a lot of work into this case. They had formulated suspects and who they believe may have been involved. And we're on the right track at the time. I read into that the first few times. I read the report. You know, I read them over and over and over, trying to see if I could look outside the box from where they had been looking. And I seen some other avenues to look at. Their initial investigation is one of those avenues still, but there were other things that popped up in my mind that I focused on. And I just feel it's there's so many people, so many names that we have in the reports from back then. There's no doubt in my mind that a handful of those at least know what happened. And it's just a matter of getting them to come forward and say something, you know.
Do you believe, or do you think physical or trace evidence will make or break this case in particular?
I don't know if it's going to make or break the case. I mean, since this homicide in 96, there have been advances already in the processing. So we know more now than we did back then. What we know now is going to lead to us interviewing these potential suspects or these people of interest that are in the reports, interviewing them again. So if one of them now speaks up to what had occurred from our questioning of what we do know now, you know, I would just say that would be good detective work as far as interviewing them, but it'll all go back to what we know about the evidence now because of the advancements.
Do you think since technology and science has upgraded that it has helped this case?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And it's advancing every day. I mean, this day right now, the lab is still looking at the evidence and applying their advancements to the processing, to the analysis. So, I mean, tomorrow we may know more than we know today.
Definitely true. Do you believe that only a few steps need to be taken to catch Vicky's killer?
I believe so. I believe it's very close.
Well, that's a good thing. What do you think it'll take for people that know something to speak up?
That's a good question, because everybody's different. You know, everybody on our list has a different personality, has a different upbringing, has, you know, different ideas, you know. So you've got to approach each person, you know, that we are unfamiliar with, that we don't know their personality. You need to read them, you know, when you're face to face with them, and ask the right questions. You know, there may be people listening right now that know something, and just come forward. You know, just come forward and say what you know. If you know something and you weren't involved, there's no reason you shouldn't come forward. You know, if you were involved, come forward. You know, get this off your shoulders. There's some that probably try not to think about it as much, and I'm sure there's some that it's every day they're thinking about it because they know something, and this case isn't closed, you know, but it will be. So come forward now.
Yeah. For some people, pressure might work, and for some people, it's the fact that it's being brought back into the public's eye. Do you think pressure would be, you know, a useful tool to get somebody to speak up, or do you think it's more like it's becoming more obvious again?
Pressure always works at the right moment. Like I said, you need to know who you're interviewing, what their possible involvement or knowledge may be of the crime, and, you know, approach it, you know, appropriately. I mean, the podcast, I'm sure if someone's involved, you could have one person listening to it and remember, oh yeah, I heard something about that, I heard so-and-so did it, but they're living their own life right now, and they may not think twice about, I'm not saying nothing, you know, but then you may have someone that hears it and says, oh yeah, so-and-so did say something, that so-and-so did it, you know. It's like nowadays with terrorism or anything, you know, school shootings or whatever, you always say, if you hear something, say something. Well, if you heard something 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you can always say something now, you know.
Definitely. Was there anything outrageous that detectives or investigators did to re-energize this case?
I'm sure prior to me getting involved in the case, you know, the original detectives that worked it, original officers that worked it, I'm sure they, you know, put their heart and soul into the case. I don't know what how they reacted to it, or if they took it personal, or how they were, you know. But there was a time when we had Sergeant Sheridan, I guess it was around 2010, maybe a little bit earlier, it was probably a little earlier, 2005, 6, 7, around there, that he himself created a large poster that he printed out that said, "Who killed Vicki Miller?" in big letters. And he hung that in the detective bureau. And it hung there for quite a long time, many years. So when you walked in, you couldn't miss it, you know, and you knew who Vicki Miller was.
Yeah, that definitely helps people seeing it every single day, seeing who killed Vicki Miller.
Yeah.
I can imagine that stayed on somebody's mind for a long, long time.
Sure.
It's been 24 years since Vicki's murder. Can you explain how the amount of time helped and hurt the case?
You wish it would have been solved within that, quote, 48 hours, you know, first 48. But all cases aren't solved like that. The technology has changed, you know. So back then, I said it should have been solved. That's my opinion. It should have been solved. But, Yeah, I wish it would have been solved and we wouldn't be sitting here today. But yeah, it's been 24 years now, and there are things that we know now that the detectives back then didn't know. So, yes, it has hurt that they didn't have the technology back then, but it has helped a lot that we have access to that technology nowadays.
Yeah, and the fact that DNA technology evidence has been brought up and we're able to retest and test things with newer technology will give more certainty almost to who did it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the advancements in DNA alone, you know, just in the normal processing. And now you're always hearing about genealogy, you know, genetic DNA. And we've got cases that we're working at right now, going in that direction on the genetic DNA. This is a perfect case for that. But I feel it can be solved without that. If it leads to that, then so be it. This case will be solved eventually, yes.
Do you think Vicky's killer had done it before and was experienced? Why or why not?
I don't think he was experienced. I mean, I think this is someone that she knew, someone involved that, you know, definitely knew her. More than one probably knew her. I should say probably. It's my opinion that did know her. We do know people who definitely were in contact with her at that time.
Do you think that Vicky sustained more injuries at the FOP Lodge?
There is a possibility. There is a possibility. She did have one injury in particular that may or may not have occurred when she was at the FOP Lodge, when she was dumped there. She may have sustained injuries being transported to that location if she was still alive at the time, which is a possibility.
It's definite possibility. I never even thought about that, to be honest, so it's a good point to bring up. Based on your experience, do you believe that Vicky knew her killer, or do you think they were a stranger?
I don't believe they were strangers.
Do you believe that there was more than one person involved, or do you think it would be difficult to tell?
My opinion, from what I have come to learn from the reports and everything, and just the profiling the crime itself, it's a very disorganized. You can tell by the injuries and the length of time it would have taken. It's really not easy to kill a person with blunt force trauma and or sharp force trauma. It takes a little while. And you speak to killers sometimes that they were surprised that the person didn't die right away. It was several people. It just had to be several people. There's no doubt. If not for the homicide, for the actual murder, but involved in transporting and disposing of the body, there had to be, there's no doubt, more than one person involved. And I'm sure several that know exactly what happened.
There's definitely, there was people at the party that night that might know something. And
sure.
Different other people that
sure, people
might know.
Talk.
Yeah.
People talk, and at the same time, they keep quiet, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure at the time of the death, people were, you know, scared, nervous, you know. Who would have done that to Vicky?
Right.
Who's next, even,
right.
Possibly? Do you think that Vicky's killer could have killed again after killing Vicky, or do you think it was personally motivated towards Vicky?
It was personally motivated. Could they kill again? Sure they could. Did they? I doubt it, but if you kill once, I'm sure you can kill again.
Is there anything else that hasn't been said that you would like to say?
Not really. Other than just, you know, how this podcast gets people to listen and someone comes forward. You know, like I said earlier, it's just a matter of time that's going to be solved. Once it is solved, we're going to know without a doubt who knew what, you know, and come forward, whether you're a friend of hers or just an acquaintance. If you were acquainted with someone else that you heard something from, heard something from somebody else, let us know. Let us know. You know, you never know where this is going to lead. Deep in my heart, there's no doubt this will eventually be solved. It may not be solved today. It may not be solved tomorrow. It may not be solved by the time I retire. But I hope once I'm gone that detectives and crime scene investigators are still on this case, which I'm sure. But I fully believe that it's going to be solved within the next few years.
Yeah, definitely.
When I say solved, I think it'll be going to trial. The next few years.
That's
great.
Arrest. Yeah, I hope so. Thank you so much for taking your time to talk to me and, you know, answer some of these questions. People are wondering what happened, and there's only so much we can talk about. So your experience is very much appreciated, and thank you.
Well, your work on this podcast is appreciated.
Vicky was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed 18-year-old who weighed approximately 125 pounds and was 5'7 at the time of her death. If you have any information about Vicky's homicide, you can anonymously report a tip at Palm Beach County Crime Stoppers at 1-800-458-TIPS 8477 or reach the Boynton Beach Police Department at GleisherJ@bbfl.us. This has been a production of the Boynton Beach Police Department. For transcripts of this podcast, photos, videos, and additional content, please visit our department website, bbpd.org, and follow us on Instagram at rosebud_podcast. Thank you for listening.